This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of our weekly podcast, Flats and Shanks. I'm Di Flatman.
I'm Tom Shanklin. I was trying to think of something funny then.
I know. I caught you on the hop a bit there, didn't I?
Well, yeah. Timmy Shanks.
I'm T-Bone Shankos. Who was it that called you Shanko that time?
Yeah, we've gone through that one.
Oh, we've done it? Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm all right.
You well,
I'm
are
okay.
You?
I'm a bit, if you want the truth, mate, you'll see my eyes are a little bit puffy. I'm a little bit allergic.
All right. What to?
I don't know why. I just suddenly tonight got allergic to the cat with whom I've lived for 15 years.
Okay.
But I'm all right. I've popped a pill. Popped a bluey. Keep going.
I've actually bought a intolerance pack from York Laboratories.
An intolerance pack?
Yeah.
Well, to find out what you're allergic to?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Thought I'd try it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with me, but I just thought I'd give it a go. You've got to do a little... You've got to prick your skin. Pretty good at that. Send it off. And it comes back with... Well, hopefully nothing, but you never know.
Yeah, but the problem is, boy...
But everyone is allergic, I think, to or intolerant to dairy, aren't they?
Well, I went for a test, and they said, your body is one of the very few bodies that likes dairy. I thought, can that be right? But anyway, I ploughed on, and it turns out, still here.
Yeah, so, you're still doing all right, aren't you?
But it said that I didn't like lamb very much, and I said, that's not true, I love lamb. But it disagrees with you, doesn't it? No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
So I had this thing for, it was Bath Life magazine, and it was a bit of fun. I said, why don't I write a feature on what I saw this thing advertised somewhere. Why don't I go and have these allergy tests done and write a little feature on it for fun? And I went, and I thought, this is such balls. I'm not going to write about it because if I do, I'm just going to be nasty. And it's not that kind of mag. So I was like, I'll just leave it, thanks. Because it was like, your body loves red meat, your body likes coffee, your body likes red wine, and your body likes dairy. I was like, so I can eat everything. Yeah.
It absorbs the lot.
Yeah, it loves beef and it loves red wine and coffee. I was like, that cannot be right. I mean,
how was your little cooking experiment?
Oh, yeah.
You went to with Danny Grucock and Matt Powell.
It was good. I mean, it's pretty easy for me, to be honest with you.
Did you do much, or did you just like crack jokes and make people laugh?
Yeah, have you seen the movie Rocky Balboa?
I've seen them all, mate.
Yeah, but you know the one where he's retired and he's got the red velvet jacket that he puts on in his restaurant and he just wanders out and tells stories about the old days?
Yeah. You were like that, were you?
Balboa Friday night, yeah.
You put someone's dressing gown on?
Die Balboa, yeah. I don't know, we had aprons on. We had lovely aprons on. But we cooked for our mate Churchy and his wife Paula and six of their mates. And luckily one of them had loads and loads of cars in his garage to talk about, so we hit it off immediately. Cars and motorbikes.
Can I shock you? I like cars.
There you go. There you go. But it was really good. So all I did was I had to supply the meat. So the lads know what to ask of me. With Danny, it's like, keep it simple and he'll still cock it up. But Powley runs the show and Flat supplies the meat. So I just cooked a whole fillet of beef and a Cote de Boeuf.
Was that enough for all of you though? Because
the whole fillet of beef was enough for everyone.
Really?
And we had a bit of leftovers from that. And I really took the Cote de Boeuf to keep for the chefs, which we did. The guests didn't get any of that.
How'd you cook it? Do you seal it off?
Sear it in a pan, brown it off in a pan, stick it in the oven for 10 minutes.
Any garlic butter or was it just oil?
I like it as it is. We had peppercorn sauce, but I personally don't put a lot of sauce on it. I like the taste of meat.
How do you have your meat? How do you like it?
I like it rare to medium rare, Tom, okay. Like everyone else really.
Yeah.
It was good. But I'm just back from London actually on the, went up and down on the motorbike, didn't I?
If you are listening to this and you want some Six Nations chat, make sure you go on our ITV STV Six Nations pod. That is being run all the way through the Six Nations.
Why did my motorbike chat make you say that?
Because I just got to remind people early. I've been told that
some people
just switch off. So we are coming straight back to that wild hog chat and I can't wait for it. Also, it's not too late to get a match pint as well. It's a score predictor. And I have won I've predicted close enough scores and I'm claiming, and I have claimed two free pints off it down the local pub, the railway. Two pints of Guinness. Thank you very much.
I mean, it depends where you live, doesn't it? If you live in Bath, that saves you about £9. And if you live in... I went to a working man's club in Wakefield recently and it was like £2.40 a pint.
What are you doing up there, lad? Speaking? Dancing?
No,
stripping?
No.
Dominoes?
I was at a friend's dad's wake. So not so funny anymore, is it?
No.
Only it's a brilliant do. Absolutely brilliant
do. You've done me there. Well done.
Had a great time. What have you been up to?
Also, that we've got another Flats and Shanks live Guinness event going on the 5th of March in Flatiron Square.
If you want to do all your promos, can you tell me to stop speaking?
Well, if I don't do them, then they won't get done.
But it's like you're just blanking me at the moment.
The 5th, I've got to say all of this stuff so we can chat. The 5th of March.
Bang it out then.
The 5th of March, Flatiron Square. You and I, that's you, David, will be there and we'll be interviewing a star of the game. We're not sure. Well, we do know, well, but we
know who it is, but he needs confirming, doesn't he? It's a he.
We're keeping it quiet. The last one was great with Tins. Make sure you get down there. Also, I think there's still a few tickets, two or three possibly, left for Wales v England in Walkabout Park, 10 o'clock. Booze o'clock, that's what I call it.
What do you call it?
Booze o'clock.
You're blimmin' mad, you are, though.
Yeah.
You always have been, haven't you?
So no smiling, no pointing.
Blimmin' loose, you are.
No acceptance. The lot. We're playing it.
Yeah. Go blimmin' mad.
Yeah. So I want to start that day off, and I don't want to remember the game.
Yeah. I think it's not a bad idea if you're Welsh, which you are.
So what have I been up to? No, actually, we'll start with your motorbike. You went down to London and back. Yeah. On your bike, or do you... Someone else had a hog?
I stole one. I went on the back of
someone else's. I don't know if it was a motorbike taxi.
I'd be quite a heavy passenger. No, I took my bike up there and it was good actually to get a long run in it because I've had a couple of sort of cool trendy bikes and now I've got a Triumph Tiger 800 and I wondered if I've tried the 12, really liked the 1200, wondered how the 8 would go.
Yeah.
Slogged it, did a few A-roads on the way up there and then slogged it back in the dark on the M4. Great fun. So loads of miles, loads of fun.
Were you nervous on the motorway?
Zero fatigue. No. Motorway's easier, I always think, than road, because you know pretty much where everyone is, and you can just, if in doubt, stay where you are, and it's fine. But no, not nervous at all.
Yeah, I've always said that. If in doubt, just stay where you are.
That's what they teach, isn't it? Yeah. So, really nice.
Did you get a stiff neck from riding it? No?
I don't get, when you consider... I've got a props back, knackered shoulders, neck and stuff like that. I don't get any sore joints at all. Okay. Like none. So I stopped for petrol at Reading, Tom, and got ripped off at Reading. And then I'm straight back on. I didn't even get a coffee. I just jump on and go. Cause actually,
well, it's quite difficult to grab a coffee, isn't it, and ride at the same time.
Yeah, but you can sit down and have 5 minutes. If it was physically difficult, like on a couple of the other bikes I've had, they're not made for long distances. They're cruisers and they're posy, really. They're town bikes, really. And they're made for like countryside blats, but not heavy mileage. So when you stop for 20 minutes, half an hour, and you stretch out and stuff.
Yeah.
But on this, the big one, it's kind of like...
Well, you could get a camel pack, couldn't you? Put it on your back, put your coffee in there, a little tube into your mouth.
Yeah, I just open the visor on my helmet, stuff loads of food in, ram it shut, and just eat my way to visibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Eat your way out.
Eat your way out, yeah.
Well, that's nice.
So hey, by the way, you wouldn't know this, boy, and neither would anyone. Actually, someone might. But ages and ages ago, I mentioned that there was this new bike coming out, and hopefully Triumph were going to bring out this new bike called a Rocket.
Yeah, I think I remember you saying that.
And I got a call about a week later from my mate Murph, who, let's just say, represents Triumph. And he's like, mate, I told you that in confidence. You weren't meant to say. And I was like, so I think I nearly got Murph in trouble. He'll be listening to this. So you've survived it, Murph. So up yours.
But will you be getting a Rocket?
But they've now announced it, that it's coming out. And, mate, it is the... I like toys, you know.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know.
It is the toy I want more than any other toy. I'd rather have that than a helicopter.
I wonder what I'm going to get into when I have a midlife crisis. I've always wondered that. Like, what's going
tanning?
What's going to be my like hobby?
Tanning. Don't ignore what I said.
I don't, mate.
You've been in it for years, boy.
I just look well.
You used to have a kid to make yourself feel young again, didn't you?
I look. That's my crisis.
Oh, we're in our late 20s now.
Yeah. Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
I can't even bother to sing it. Black sheep. I once decided to sing Bar Bar Black Sheep and to sing it until Sophia, my daughter, went to sleep. So I was like, I'm just going to keep singing the same song until she could try and bore her to sleep, which was about two or something. And I did it 43. It was either 43 or 47. I can't remember. So I'll underplay it. 43 times in a row, and I was like, oh, tell you what.
What did you do? Like a little bit of chalk in your hand to just knock it off on the wall?
I remember counting on my fingers, bar, bar, blah, bar, bar, blah, but kept going 43 times, like, mate, I'm out. You can stay awake if you want, mate. I'm out.
I mean, luckily, though, it's quite a short song. You know, if you get a long song like The Farmer in His Den,
Never heard it.
Ah, well.
I do Dutch ones. Do you want to hear a Dutch one?
No. Yeah, go on then.
Slap, king, slap. Darbo ter loopt een schaap met witter voetjes, die drinkt haar melk zo zoetjes.
You sound like you should be in the 1940s on a German U-boat singing.
you should be on
Red October singing it. Sean Connery defects. Oh, sorry.
I just like to do nursery rhymes in different languages. Do a couple of. Do you want to hear a Latin one?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. No, I do. I do. We do.
I was bluffing. I was bluffing. All right. I don't have one. What have you been up to, our kid?
Okay. Just before I've been up. Well, I've been watching Dirty John on Netflix, and that's a podcast that you got me into, which I've listened to all of it and was just enthralled through
Connie
it all.
Britton is her name, isn't it?
Mm.
The main character. Mm. Her real name is Connie Britton.
Okay.
And she was in, I've completely forgotten it, the one about country singers.
Okay, Dolly Parton.
No, anyway, but I'm going to say something not very 2019, but I think she is one of the most attractive, mature women I've seen.
Okay.
She is just my cup of tea.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, well, you enjoy that with a biscuit. But I've been watching that on Netflix, really good.
Yeah.
Properly like it. I mean, I know what happens in the end.
I know. That's
and I always find it. It tickles me because obviously, you know, a lot of people use the word terror now as like terrible. Like it came from Mark Regan going, "Oh, Babs, that's terror." Now everyone uses it, and there's a girl.
Oh, is that where it came from?
There's a girl in it called Terror. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So, I think about five episodes in, I finished Das Boot. Enjoyed that. That's on Sky Atlantic.
Like that?
Yeah, you will. You will. It's subtitled and a bit of French in there, but also there's English as well, so a little bit of everything.
They're the easy bits. That's one of those.
I try to watch it when I was cooking. You just can't do it.
You can't. Or eating. You can't. Yeah. You got to give it your undivided. You can't even double screen it.
So I filmed a video last week. Was with Steve Spears.
Ugh,
so we basically, we were told to, can we film and recreate the Scott Gibbs try 1999 that he scored at Wembley, so Steve and I end up going to a little primary school, I think it's Park Lewis in Pontypridd, and we take on a load of kids. We dress the little kids, little Welsh kids, up in England shirts, cover them in white. They're the opposition, and it's just me and him recreating that try.
Oh, Tommy. Isn't that lovely, though?
Mm.
Isn't it?
And it's just been shown on Scrum 5 now. Don't know how it's gone down, but, I mean, you care, but you don't care
you
that
do,
much.
You do, but you don't. No.
It's a bit of fun.
It's a bit of fun.
Steve, I love working with Steve. I mean, he's just incredibly funny, mate. He's brilliant.
I want you to be honest now.
Yeah.
You're not very good at lying, so you're going to be honest anyway, but just making sure. The last couple of years, you and I have done those videos together.
Yeah.
Do you prefer doing them with Steve because he's a professional actor and he's a comedian?
I prefer the two to become three. Where he's brilliant is that because he is an actor and he just helps having someone that can properly, truly act. It just comes naturally to him.
Hang on, my phone's ringing. Hang on, it's Danny. All right, Dan? Just recording a podcast with Shank the Tank. Can I give you a call later on? Do you want to talk about barbecues and that? Yeah. Will do, mate. Cheers, cop. Yeah, we'll do it. Ta-ra.
Pass your best on to Shanks.
Pass your best on to Shanks, yeah.
That's me, doesn't he?
I'm seeing Dan in Devon tomorrow, so he's very, very keen for a freezing cold beach barbecue.
Yeah.
He wants a list of meat I'm supplying, I think.
Okay, very nice.
So I talked to him the other day, and I saw on Friday night this cooking thing, and he's like, hey, how's your podcast going then, Dave? I said, yeah, it's good, mate. Yeah, good. Yeah, have you ever listened to it? No. No. Do you listen to podcasts? Yeah, now and again, yeah. Just not ours. No. That was that.
We should just get him on one day. We should have a barbecue around yours.
Yeah, but it'd be the worst podcast ever if he's on it.
It'd be all right. It'd be all right. He's a legend. Look, if we're really stuck, we can talk about karate. He's black belt.
Yeah, the black belt he had 34 years ago.
Doesn't matter, mate. You'll always have that over you.
Got your 50 meter
badge.
It's like
an MBE,
isn't
it?
Badge.
Can't take it away from you. Well, you can actually. Mm. It's a lie.
Remember the swimming badges thing?
Yeah.
We did our 20 meters, and then it was we had a big, whatever it was, pool in the local town, and it was a 50 meter pool. And it's like, if you can do one length, obviously, or 25 meter pool, two lengths get you 50 meters. So I was like, I was only little, and I wasn't a very good swimmer. I was like, oh yeah, fine, I'll do that. And I just kept going, not knowing, thought they would tell me to stop. And then I saw quite a lot of panic, and there was another school in there that had come in and started their swimming lesson, and I just kept going. And there was quite a lot of panic, and then I saw my dad running down the side of the swimming pool, and you weren't allowed to run, and he was dressed in civvies.
Yeah, no running,
and
no bombing.
Someone shouted, David! And I was like, yes? And they'd forgotten I was in there, thought they'd lost me in the changing rooms. Anyway, they calculated that I'd done about 1,500 metres and I got my 1,500 badge on the same day as my 50.
Oh, mate, you should have done another, 100 more metres and you had your mile badge.
That's what I meant. I got my 10-mile badge, my 50-mile badge.
Oh, well done, so, you. I mean,
a bit gold.
I mean, big guys like you love the water, don't they? It's the weightlessness feeling.
It's the only time we feel light.
Yeah.
It's like going bounding around.
An orbit.
Yeah. Instead of people orbiting around us, we feel like we're in orbit.
Just there's one with yourself, aren't you? Floating around the pool.
Like a manatee.
Yeah. So I went to Ireland this weekend. For a day, really. 24 hours.
It's a day out, isn't it? It's a day out.
Doing COCOMs. It was Benetton Scarlets. Really good game, actually. I have a guess
who
won.
COCOMs? Benetton. Scarlets.
Benetton.
Okay, got it, didn't I?
Benetton.
Oh. Oh, you horrible gear.
Yeah. Doing really well. They're like joint second in Conference B at the moment.
Oh, great.
But we'll get on to a little bit of rugby later. So that's it, really. It's Sunday
nice time,
night.
Did you, our kid?
I'm recording the pod with you.
Yeah.
I mean, have you done anything exciting apart from your barbecue for Churchoid?
No, I haven't actually. And it's, do you know what? It's it's quite nice to not be hectic sometimes.
It is. Especially with us this week, because we've got a mental busy week, haven't we? Then after this week, we're off to Japan then to film a load of footage for ITV. So
it's all good.
Get rest while you can. I've always said that.
But yeah, it's all good. But I mean, it's just quite nice because this week is, I mean, half term is pretty chilled. I'm working a bit towards the end of the week, but we're going down to Devon for a few days, but that's nice. But after that, it just goes off, doesn't it?
Mate, it goes.
So it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
It goes
late
chicken
night,
oriental.
Sunday night finish.
That's what it does.
Late night, Sunday night finish, early morning flight to Japan. But then as soon as I land at Heathrow a week later back from Japan, I stay in Heathrow for 4 hours and then get a flight, early morning flight to Newcastle.
Joy.
To do game. And then I fly back to Bristol and get a taxi home from Bristol and hopefully don't die.
Well, I get back on the 5th. Back on the 5th and I've got to do straight away, go to Flatiron Square for our event.
Yeah.
But I might have to stay at yours maybe on Sunday night.
Yeah.
If that's all right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Of course you can,
we've got to record the pod, haven't we? And then we've got to travel down in the morning to the airport.
We've got to get blooming lashed. We'll get blooming lashed as well, haven't we?
Get the wine in.
Could we blooming...
Wine and tapas.
We'll have to get a blooming driver, won't we, probably?
Like the old days, isn't it? When you used to get ready to go out for a night out, I'd come round, watch you get ready with a glass of wine. Put some music on. Do a little fashion show for me.
Yeah, do you like that? Yeah. No, it's not you. I know.
Big mistake. Huge mistake.
I remember when we were going out once, I wore jeans and a shirt. You know, we were in a shirt for. I was like, well, I'll just try and be a bit more mature, Can't wear t-shirts forever. And you're like, why is it tucked in? Your gut's too big to have a shirt tucked in. I was like, well, look at it when it's out. And I pulled it out and you were like, yeah, looks like a tarpaulin. Tuck it in. Or just wear a t-shirt.
Oh, I used to have a pair of base snakeskin, slip-on loafers. My pride and joy. Wear them with a nice pair of linen trousers.
Like a serial killer.
Terror. Absolute horrific.
Terror.
I mean, it's crazy to think how baggy people used to wear jeans. Some do, actually, still.
Although, I got a load of grief this weekend. So the boys said my jeans were too tight. So
they can never be too tight, mate.
So I said, and then I was like, they're not that tight. And then Austin Healy walked over and I said, Oz, what do you think of these jeans? And he's like, you're getting better, but they could be tighter for me. I was like, you see?
Yeah.
The problem is, Tom, I did blooming leg day, didn't I, before I went to work.
Ah, your DOMS, did you?
Well, it was Quadzilla, wasn't I? I was all puffed up. You know what it's like.
Yeah.
Got a calf explosion. No, they're just quite tight. But I think they look lovely. So, up theirs.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Right, so I covered a little bit of the Guinness Pro 14 this weekend, and as I said, Benetton won. Couldn't quite believe it. I mean, look, they are a decent team, Benetton. They've certainly improved, but you know, the Scarlets are still the Scarlets. You know, they've still got the likes of Johnny McNichol playing. Rhys Patchell was on the bench. Josh McLeod, who's been really good. Dan Davis, Werner Kruger. Steph Evans was playing as well. So they've still got a decent team. But you look at the Benetton, were just bigger and more physical, especially in the second half. Yeah.
Really?
I mean, there was a try that was given for basically crawling over the line. And it should never have been a try. So the Scarlets can count themselves a little bit unlucky there. But no, they were just like, they were far more physical all over the park, really.
Were they creative? That's something I think is missing from the Italian game.
Not massively, but you don't really need to be too creative when you're carrying and you're getting your shoulders through every single contact and getting yourself on the front foot. And Ian McKinley, he was released by our Italy to play.
Yeah.
He's the guy who perforated his left eye.
Oh, yeah.
So he wears little goggles.
He came off the bench for the Azzurri the other week when I was out there.
Yeah, so.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And he wants people to stop talking about it all the time, apparently. Just talk about him as a player.
Well, you can't not miss it, mate. He's got a pair of goggles on.
Yeah, they look wicked as well, actually.
But it's incredible. Like a 10 playing with one eye. You know, it's probably the hardest position to play for a peripheral because you've got to keep scanning left, right all the time.
It was hard enough with two eyes, Tom. That's what I've always said.
So
good on him.
Yeah, so 25-19 to the Scarlets. And the Scarlets had a chance right at the end as well. Patchell kicks it into the corner, line out 5 metres. Scarlets go to the front. Guess who competes at the front?
Guess who?
Benetton.
Yeah.
Steal the ball, go. Else, there was a thriller, mate, at the Blues. Cardiff Blues, Glasgow Warriors, Glasgow won 38-34, but some brilliant tries. Really good.
Oh, really?
You know, you get games which is just end-to-end action.
And
it's hard. It's just exhausting watching because it's from one side to the other. I mean, Glasgow were basically near enough in the lead the whole way through, but Aled Summerhill scores three tries for the Blues. Jared Evans looked really creative at 10 for the Blues. Nick Grigg, playing for Glasgow.
Griggsy.
Yeah, he's a Kiwi. He's come over, but really powerful. He's not the biggest bloke.
Griggsy.
He's had a handful of caps for Scotland. He's obviously not in the starting 15 now for him, but he looked something else, really, at the weekend.
He was just yards after
contact. Yeah, Peter Horn played at 10. Ali Price was really good.
How did Peter Horn go?
Okay. I think he's better 12 than he is 10. But you know, if you don't have a 10, and Adam Hastings was on the bench. Not sure why. Maybe it was down to form. Maybe it was down to being away in Scotland camp and not training as much. But he did all right. But Peter Horn's also in the Scotland camp as well, so he does all right. He does all right. So that was a decent enough game. Wasn't much of a thriller in Bridge End on Friday night. Ospreys 0, Ulster 8.
Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, Duane van der Meer for Edinburgh. I'm not sure if you've heard of him.
I have heard of him.
He's a South African. But
he's a mute.
I'm sure at some stage.
He's a beast, man.
In a few years, he will qualify and Scotland will snap him up.
I really hope he does qualify because I want to watch him play for Scotland. I want to watch him play against Joe Thock and a singer.
Oh, yeah.
At Murrayfield. That's what I want, our kid.
Yeah. Munster easy beat Southern King. So, no real surprises. Leinster beat Zebra quite easily.
There was some mega Prem rugby at the weekend.
Yeah.
Saints scored 9 tries and absolutely battered Sale, who have been the form team in the Prem.
Yeah, I know. Reinach, 2 tries. How fast is Reinach as well?
His dad was a sprinter, elite sprinter.
Was he really?
He's rapid. Yeah, but the try they scored from the Reinach's second try, they scored from the kickoff. It's just like that is, and I said this on the telly, but in a sporting sense, that is, they have got absolutely no respect for that Sale defence. They just absolutely shred it from a kickoff.
Yeah.
And run the length, you know, running from 75 metres. Just they were fab, and Tom Collins' final try at the end, the ninth try, they're still going for it, gunning from just underneath their own post. Go, 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 go. Sale were absolutely all over the place. They got absolutely destroyed.
But with Reinach, you always expect scrum halves will always be sharp off the base because that's their game, isn't it? But often you don't see a scrum half, sometimes you don't see a scrum half that has just got pure wheels as well that can finish off and maintain that pace for long distances. He's got that easily.
Yeah, he was. He's very, very.
It's a lovely offload by Pierre Francis for his second.
Oh
try.
Yeah!
I mean, that is that skill is so hard under a massive amount of pressure.
Yeah, that's class.
Really enjoyed that. Really, really that nice. Was probably my skill of the day.
Quinn's put seven past Worcester.
Mm.
So Quinn scored, did some great stuff. Mike Brown, lovely little chip to the corner from Jack Clifford from Mike Brown. Lovely bit of skill. And again, I'm repeating myself and I'll tell you a bit, but anyone else does that, we're going nuts. But so many people have made their mind up that Mike Brown just does what he does that I think people are blind to the improvements he's made this season. They were scoring, I think it was Joe Marchant scored a couple of weeks back from a beautiful little, it might have been Nathan Earl, a beautiful little chip through, grubber through from Mike Brown. Lovely bit of skill. Yeah. And it's like, well, Alex Good does that or Sips does that. We're all going mad. It's that they're lovely bits. But it's, I think he's getting better.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure he's getting better. He's a very good player all round, but it pays to be liked. Helps to be liked, mate.
Hey, you're right, you know.
Ben Tapawai's angle.
Yeah, how good
was
that?
Was nice. It was good. But how well does, I think it's Danny Kerr, do to find his man? Because that's a long, flat pass.
But
risky pass.
To be fair, you'd hope with the best part, what is it, nearly 80 caps now, you'd hope he could chuck a decent pass. But still, a lot of scrum halves wouldn't have made that pass.
No.
It's really nice.
It's a difficult pass. That is a difficult pass.
Yeah.
Off the left as well. I mean, being a scrum half, you shouldn't have a weak hand, but that's a tough pass to hit
but
the
they
man.
Do.
You can't, you can't check your man. You're hitting it flat. That has to be right on the button. It was. I know Worcester basically were hammered, really, in that game, but Josh Adams does look fast, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looks rapid.
Really, really fast.
Really quick. Mega acceleration, top end. He looks really explosive. And it's one of that bonus point's important, you know, because Newcastle went to the wreck and lost again. And it's almost like Worcester do not at times, they've looked brilliant a couple of times over the last couple of seasons, but here and there, but their average performance is pretty poor at the moment, but they're still. They don't really have to do much because Newcastle are doing them a favour every week. They're not the London Welsh of the Premiership, but they keep on losing.
They do, They do. Saracens 33, Leicester 10. Leicester were right in that game. I think it was 1 point in it after 65 minutes. But standard Saris, that final quarter, just pull away. And I mean, Leicester were in that game towards the end, and it doesn't help when Tamua throws an intercept.
No.
And it just gets picked off by Ben Spencer. And Strettle scores as well at the end.
He can still dance them over, Strettle, can't he?
Yeah, I mean,
he's still so elusive when he gets a bit of ball.
It was a fairly easy try, but
I thought it looked good.
The score doesn't really reflect, I suppose, how competitive Leicester were. But you can't switch off against the best, can you?
100% set piece. They defended really well at times. They had some boys carrying hard.
Mm.
Callum Mahoney, I mean, he doesn't make many yards, but he carries a lot of ball. But, just Saris didn't. You never felt like they were going to lose that, even at half time when the score hadn't gone their way. You just think there's no panic there. Get in, have a chat, have a quarter of an orange, hot chocolate done.
Tom Youngs, not needed by Wales, goes back to Wasps, scores a try, has a real decent game. Wasps win 29-22. He looked really good all the way through.
Him, but he was absolutely outstanding in that game at the weekend. He was the best player on the field again. He was just brilliant, man. Absolutely brilliant.
He was good. Charles Pietau scored a nice try, just bounces off Willy LaRue.
Yeah, but come on. Like, I know Pietau is mega strong. He's not that big, but he's mega strong. But does Willy LaRue want to make that hit?
Not really, but he doesn't want to make any tackles. But you watch how Pietau sort of turns his body, though, to bump him. If he just goes to the line and fends his hand, that's quite an easy tackle. But what Pietau does is he makes himself a lot harder to tackle by changing his whole body, turning around and essentially slowing down just to bump off Willy LaRue. You know, if he just goes to that line, Willy LaRue will grab his arm, use momentum, pull him down, but does a real decent job. But it is a poor tackle, mate. There's no
doubt. Matt Perry would have got him.
Pez would have nailed him. I think Pez has had that little skin tag from his nose removed as well.
Has he?
Yeah, I saw a picture of him the other day.
Oh, that's good. He needed that.
So glad because...
Well, he started having to bite food in the end.
Well, I just can't stop staring at it when it's there.
I know. But I thought it was a bit weak from Willy LaRue that. But Billy Searle, horrible injury. Fly off. Really nasty. I think he's had a proper leg or ankle snapper there. And it was on the highlights, but I couldn't watch it. I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And I saw it live and I couldn't watch it. So I haven't watched any replays because it's not my
I hate that as well. But. I can't stand it. Massive win for Gloucester against Exeter.
Yeah.
Third time
and
Exeter
Gloucester
lost.
Good for it.
Yeah.
Exeter just not quite on it, actually. Didn't look brilliant. O'Flaherty try where Cressick went through the middle was a really nicely worked try. Stitched Gloucester up a treat. But I look back at the tries and I think the Woodward try where Thorley takes pinpoint kick from Cipriani, Thorley takes it, offloads it to Woodward. I say that's forward. Everyone else seems to disagree. That's fine. I think it's a forward and shouldn't have been allowed. And also the James Hansen, the hooker, his block later on. And they were on the TV, they had a quick look at it and said, actually, it looked bad, but it wasn't. It's fair. I've had another look at it and I just think, no.
Yeah.
It's Ben Morgan who scores, isn't it, in the end, I think. But for me, both of those tries should have been disallowed.
I wonder that Cipriani kick. I mean, he's put it up in the air. He's putting up an under up. I wonder if it's actually meant to put one up on the winger. Because that's a real difficult kick to put. Because it's an up and under. It's not a cross-field kick where it's quite easy to judge the height and the length of it. You're basically hitting the ball as hard as you can in the air. But it's a perfect kick because it's right on that winger. Thorley gets off the ground really well. But what I'm trying to say basically is if you put a real high up and under up and you put it on the winger, that's a hard kick to control. And whether he meant to do it or not, whether he just meant to put it up in the middle of the field, which most people do, it's a nice piece of skill. I hope he did.
It's Sippers, isn't it? Yeah, well, it's Sippers, isn't it? Is. Of course he did. He went where he wanted to go.
What am I saying? But, sorry, mate. Tired. Should have had a coffee.
And Gloucester are great. And Gloucester against Sarries at King's Home on Friday night is going to be really interesting. Interesting. We're going to have to watch it on Catch Up the next morning over breakfast. But we will, won't we? We'll have a little croissant and a coffee, won't we?
Of course we will. Play 13 now. Who's going to win it?
Sarries.
Yeah.
No one disagrees with me either. Do you don't, do you?
No. I mean...
You do not have to be a rugby expert. So who's going to win the Pro 14, Leinster?
Yeah, I think so.
That's what I think.
Leinster, Munster. It depends, really. I mean...
It'd be nice if it was close. I mean, I
the thing with Leinster is Leinster, unbelievable, mate. The talent that comes through there. The talent that comes through the Leinster schools and the academies. It just gets shipped off to other places. You look at people like Joey Carberry, you know, he's had to go to Munster to get some game time. John Cooney, gone to Ulster. You know, there's a massive amount of talent that comes through Leinster. And rightly so, you know, it gets dispersed to some of the other provinces to make them stronger. But
yeah, I like that.
I like it a lot as well. There's a lot of chat in Wales about potentially having two, maybe three regions.
Really?
Yeah. Amalgamating some. Don't know. Okay. I don't know what.
I just want to watch Neath against Swansea again.
There's always going to be...
That's all I want.
There's always been chat about maybe having a North Wales region. There's also been chat about having two regions, sort of combining Newport and Cardiff and Llechely and the Ospreys, but we're not sure. I mean, the WRU eventually is going to own all the regions. I think it now owns the Blues, it owns the Dragons. I think it part owns the Ospreys. I think... Or the part owns the Scarlets, and the only one it doesn't own is the Ospreys at all. So I think obviously Wales are trying to copy that Irish model.
Yeah.
Which is a good model and it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'd like them to do it, Tom. I'll level with you.
What are you gonna watch at the moment then on Netflix? Come on. I need some inspiration.
Mate,
Any good podcasts?
But I'm going to dig in tonight. I'm Dirty John. I'm too into Dirty John, but I know what happened like you do. So, but I just, I'm so kind
It's good
of
though. It's really enjoyed Dirty John.
I'm in love with Connie Britton. I'm going to keep watching.
End of Days was, I really like that. End a of guy, okay. Yeah. It's about...
Mark Durden-Smith recommended Sex Education and Love Sick.
Really? Yeah, Sex Education apparently is good. But End of Days, I know you've listened to it already.
Have I?
Yeah, it's about David Koresh.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a guy who narrates it. He's really good. It's Warburton. Can't remember what Warburton, though. Ben is Sam's brother. So I get confused a lot.
It's not him.
No.
I'm
Chris Warburton. It's Chris Warburton. He's a presenter from BBC Five Live, but he's brilliant on it. Love listening to him and the way he presents and how he's edited.
That's good. I could do with some recommendations. But by the way, we got a question. Michelle just texted me, by the way, with a question that someone's asked. And the bloke who's asked it is called Tom Bone or Bown. Not sure. B-O-W-N. Well done. Yeah. Anyway, hello, chaps. Got a question for you to cover. I like a good sing-song, but what's the view of singing along to opposing teams' anthems in internationals? Not sure I could hold myself back from belting out the Irish or Scottish anthem if I was standing on the pitch. Might not shed tears, Delalio style, but would give a passionate rendition. Cheers, boys, Tom.
You find yourself humming along to it when you stood there, because
some are
so catchy. You know, they are. You know, the French one's really good. The Italian one's really good.
Yeah, not even, I mean, and even the Italian words, lads don't know the words to theirs. No. I'm sure they don't.
But just hum it, and there's a big, hey, at the end.
Yeah. I love it.
You know, when you listen to Ireland's Call and Flower of Scotland, I mean, they are incredible. Like, even now, I still think when I'm watching the Six Nations games on TV, I still think Murrayfield, Flower of Scotland, when the bagpipes and it's just echoing around the whole of the stadium. Yeah. Just everyone singing. It's a real passionate anthem as well. You can't beat that.
No, it's great.
No, and I'd like, you know me, mate, I love a sing-song after.
You know what you're like.
Yeah.
You and Oggy.
I mean, I'm not very good at singing, but I will give it
you
a
are.
Bloody
Don't
good go.
Don't undersell yourself. Right.
Stop lying.
I'm going to go for a bowl of pasta now.
Yeah.
Get a bit of weight back on for winter.
Whole meal, yeah?
I'm going to have a whole meal.
What are you going to have with it? Just pasta?
It's like pasta bake, leftover pasta bake that my kids didn't want. So
Dave.
I'll just cover it in salt and eat it, Tom.
You're going to put something in the microwave for 5 minutes, stir it halfway through, rip off the seal, and then eat it.
No, it's already made. Okay. It's in a dish, and I'm going to put it on a plate, and yes, I will warm it up in the microwave while I sort Netflix out.
Or, as I like to call it, living in Wales, the poppity ping. We don't have a word for microwave. Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Yeah. All right. Well, no, good luck to you. And I'm looking forward to the sleepover next Sunday.
It's going to be nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be lovely that.
Yeah. I'll bring the kale, all right, mate?
Cheers, then.
Bye.